No one can keep a secret forever.
Secrets can be devastating. You combine secrets with someone who refuses to live by social norms, it's disaster.
Bill and Kathleen Lipscomb are an attractive, successful couple. They have the kind of life it's easy to admire.
They were just good, ordinary people that worked hard and were proud of what they did.
But they both hold dark secrets that could ruin many lives.
You really can't trust anyone, even people that you've known, that you feel like you know intimately.
Some people will do anything to keep the truth from coming out.
Information was out there that, if ever exposed, would have been damaging to many people's reputations and or careers.
Every time they went to church, God was saying, confess, confess your secret.
Eventually, every dirty little secret will be revealed. It's early morning on June 9th, 1986 in San Antonio, Texas, when a local commuter comes across something truly shocking. A naked woman stretched out on the side of a country road in full public view. And more terribly still, as they get closer, they can see she is lifeless and cold.
She was totally nude. She's in what we call a displayed manner, where somebody actually displayed her, wanted her found.
When police arrive on the scene, several things are quickly apparent to them. The bruising suggests that the woman was sexually assaulted and strangled to death, and her body was apparently cleaned before being transported to this place.
The smell of the body, she's been washed, she's been bathed. That's not your typical abduction rapist.
Whomever dropped the body at that location, it had to be somebody who knew her.
It's a complex and disturbing crime, and the most important first step for investigators is identifying their victim. Within hours, a co-worker IDs the body, uncovering the tragic answer. The woman is Kathleen Lipscomb, a 29-year-old wife and mother. Kathy is a well-respected nurse at a local hospital. At home, she has a full family life as devoted mother to two young children. How could she have possibly come to such an ugly, tortured end?
There was nobody that we could find, or that I could find, or have heard of, that had anything bad to say about her.
I think they were happy, and I think that they were proud of what they had done.
Kathleen's world seems very stable. Her husband, Bill, is a rising star in the U.S. Air Force. He works hard, even late into the night sometimes, to take care of his family and get ahead.
One of the fastest promoted master sergeants in the Air Force. So he brought a lot of attention to himself. He was the general's flag bearer, and he had done some things that were great, and he expected a lot of himself.
The Lipscomb family are well-respected members of their local community.
Kathleen and Bill's family, with their two children, would have seemed to be very normal if they lived down the street from you, him being a, you know, career Air Force and her being a nurse, and, you know, the two parents, you know, two children.
What, you're gonna take them? Is that what you're gonna do?
But with all that Bill and Kathleen have going for them in public, behind closed doors, the marriage is in serious trouble.
Is that supposed to be some kind of threat?
Over time, their relationship has devolved into one long, ongoing argument. Bill could be overbearing and resented Kathleen's independence.
You're still my wife. I have not signed any papers.
I am so sick of this marriage.
And Bill and Kathleen have finally decided that their problems are too big to overcome. They're headed towards a divorce, but still fighting about it every step along the way.
No, I'm not signing papers until I know what's going on with the kids.
You know how I feel about the kids.
The constant conflict is just one symptom of Bill and Kathy's failing marriage.
Part of the reason for the divorce was Kathy was having an affair. She was a nurse. She was having an affair with one of the doctors at the hospital.
At the hospital, Kathleen enjoys working with people who share her professional passions. And in one case, The passion has turned personal. She started a romance with one of the doctors.
Kathleen loved him very much. She loved what she did. I mean, she absolutely loved it. And I think the fact that he was a doctor in that field really added to her infatuation with him.
Unfortunately, her lover is also married, and their affair has to be kept a very close secret.
I think Kathleen got wrapped up in a story or in a situation where she believed that that eventually there was going to be a future with this individual.
I think he was very astute at what he did, knew the right words to say and the attention that women like.
As police learn more about Kathleen's life, they begin to focus on the two men who were closest to her as suspects in her murder. A scorned husband and the married man she's having an affair with. They bring Kathy's husband, Bill, in for questioning first. He tells police that he knows the doctor, but acts totally shocked when they suggest that Kathy and he were having an affair. Bill also gives a detailed statement of his whereabouts on the night of the crime.
He was with his children. You know, these other people could verify his whereabouts. There was nothing that directly had tied Bill to the crime or Kathleen's death.
Even though there was a lot of unhappiness in their marriage, Bill Lipscomb has a clear alibi for the night of Kathleen's murder, and detectives shift their attention away from him as a suspect. Police turn their focus to Kathy's lover.
It was a very poor idea for the doctor to have an affair with Kathleen Lipscomb, who was his subordinate. You've exposed yourself to potentially being accused of wrongdoing, whether it be harassing her or even potentially hurting her.
Because this was a workplace romance, there were very high stakes for the doctor if their secret were to come out. If Kathy had been pushing for more and was ready to tell the truth about their relationship, it could have ruined the doctor both personally and professionally.
When I found out Kathleen had been killed, her supervisor was one of my first suspects. He had everything to lose, his career, his family, I mean, everything. And he was living a lie.
When the doctor is brought in for questioning, he quickly admits he saw Kathleen soon before she died. He won't say where. In fact, he won't give detectives any other information. And police find it suspicious that the doctor does not proclaim his innocence or offer any assistance at all in solving his lover's murder.
He would not utter a word. He immediately called his lawyer and sat there for 30 to 45 minutes waiting for that lawyer to come. He knew not to say anything.
Investigators are human beings, and even though each and every one of us have a constitutional right to remain silent and to exercise our right to counsel during an interrogation, it raises their suspicions, in fact, because common sense says if you love someone, you want to help get this crime solved, if you are in fact innocent.
Police determined that the doctor was the last person seen with Kathleen. They were together during rounds at the hospital. And in addition to strangulation marks, an examination of Kathleen's body shows evidence of recent sexual activity. Could they have met after rounds for work of a more intimate nature?
When the medical examiner investigated, he found that there was sperm in her that had been 24 hours old. Bill had had a vasectomy, and so he didn't contribute to any of that.
But the investigation hits a setback. The semen sample taken from Kathleen's body is contaminated, making it impossible to match DNA with anyone who may have had sexual contact with her in the final hours of her life. Police are left with their suspicions, but no clear evidence.
We know that this doctor had information. The investigators can't assume that he's being completely forthcoming. And in fact, they had a lot of reason to believe that he wasn't being forthcoming.
Kathleen had found out that she was being played. He would possibly have tried to silence her.
Kathleen Lipscomb's lover and boss, a married doctor, could have lost everything if their affair came out. But when police begin to dig deeper, they realize that he's not the only one who may have needed to keep Kathleen silent.
Is that jealousy? Is it rage? Yes.
When 29-year-old wife and mother Kathleen Lipscomb is discovered dead on the side of the road, police take a deep look into her personal life to understand what might have led to her murder. Her estranged husband has provided a strong alibi, but her boss, a doctor with whom she's been having a secret affair, won't speak to investigators.
We came to find out through the investigation that he was having an affair. And this, of course, creates a huge problem for the individual. That is one reason that could enable him to make the decision that I better get an attorney before this gets uglier than what it is now.
Detectives learn that in her mind, Kathleen wasn't simply dating her boss. She wanted the doctor to leave his marriage and for them to begin a new life together. But the doctor may not have seen the relationship the same way.
My initial thought was that if Kathleen had found out that she was being played, that she would have been angry with him and he would have tried to silence her.
This doctor lived a prestigious life. He had an established career, a wife, and on face value, he has a lot to lose. And this could not only destroy his career, it could destroy his reputation, which he valued greatly.
He didn't want to be known as the Don Juan that he actually was. What effect would that have on his career?
And the doctor isn't the only one who would have suffered in public if his affair had come out. There's the doctor's wife, who would have had a strong motive for keeping Kathleen Lipscomb's affair with her husband quiet.
She had a lot to lose, too. Not only her husband, but her lifestyle and her position in the community. And that's what she was trying to avoid. That's why she was a suspect.
In the case of a jealous wife that may be losing her husband to another woman, you always have the, you know, you're losing your spouse, you're potentially losing your family, your income, and your estate, and your children, a lot to lose.
Is that jealousy? Is it rage? Yes, there are situations where the wife of the doctor could have been motivated to want to get rid of Kathleen, if only to hide the fact that her marriage was falling apart, or that her marriage was not the public marriage that people saw it to be.
The deputies now have two people, the doctor and his wife, who could have wanted Kathleen Lipscomb dead. But police don't have any physical evidence that can tie either one of them to the crime. Desperate to make some progress in solving Kathleen's murder, investigators keep searching for other potential leads.
In the early part of an investigation, really everyone who has any kind of contact with her is a suspect.
Then, out of the blue, one of Kathleen Lipscomb's neighbors gets a terrifying call that opens up a completely new line of investigation. A mysterious man's voice on the phone says simply, "You're next."
You're next.
Knowing about Kathleen's violent death, the neighbor immediately alerts the authorities.
I mean, she was raped and strangled. And then, you know, one of her very good friends, a couple of days later, get a call that you're next. So you did wonder, who is it? I mean, is this just some weirdo off the street that is picking women at random? And I mean, who could have done this? And why?
If Kathleen wasn't the only one being targeted, was there some connection she had to other local women? Something the police didn't know about yet.
This wouldn't lead the investigation to think, maybe this is someone who has a vendetta against this community, these people, the women that live on this block. They are going to look at this and say, wow, maybe we're just barking up the wrong tree.
At the same time, police and family members look for anything else in Kathleen's world that might have put her in contact with danger.
We go deep. We have to go deep into the victim's background.
And indeed, a short time after the crime, Kathleen's co-workers approach law enforcement and suggest a new person of interest.
Almost immediately after her death, a day or two after, this male nurse disappeared. He worked in the same division at the Health Science Center as Kathleen, but ever all of a sudden, he's gone. Nobody knows his whereabouts. Co-workers found that very peculiar, very odd, and so did we.
Co-workers describe him as being not particularly reliable, maybe can't hold a job for very long. He has some shady aspects to his personality.
Kathleen's co-workers tell police that they've never trusted this male nurse. They know that he had contact with Kathleen at the hospital. And after her death, they have a terrible feeling that he could be involved.
If you have committed a crime, you've killed somebody, the first thing you want to do is get out of Dodge.
Police are intent on tracking down every possible suspect, but a search of the missing male nurse's apartment yields no further evidence that could link him to the crime, and they turn up no other leads as to his whereabouts. A week after Kathleen's death, investigators are back to square one. For all their suspects, the doctor, his wife, the mystery caller, and the male nurse, they can't tie anyone to Kathy's murder.
The sheriff's office looked at anybody who could be involved and just assumed that this would be a murder that would never be solved.
Police have too many leads that are adding up to nothing, and they're no closer to finding Kathy Lipscomb's killer. In a crime with very little evidence, a new eyewitness account will push the investigation in a surprising new direction. Could Kathleen Lipscomb have had yet another secret love? One that would shock anyone who knew this wife and mother.
Of course, the police would want to identify her, seek her out, question her.
The deeper police dig into the brutal slaying of wife and mother of two, Kathleen Lipscomb, the more secrets they seem to uncover. Kathy had a troubled marriage, and she was hiding an affair with her boss. After her murder, a neighbor received a threatening call from a strange man, and one of the male nurses at Kathy's work has gone suspiciously missing.
A lot of information was out there that was circling that if ever exposed would have been damaging to many people's reputations and or careers.
But detectives have run down all of their leads and hit a dead end. Until someone who lives near the Lipscombs comes to police with a strange story to tell. One of Kathleen's neighbors explains that he's seen her associating with an unidentified woman in what appears to be an intimate way.
A gentleman that lived near my sister came forward with a story that he saw two women. It was suggested that possibly a lesbian had come to my sister's house as a liaison kind of thing.
Is it possible that Kathleen had a relationship with this woman? Is it possible that this woman killed Kathleen or that this woman would have information about the murder? Of course, the police would want to identify her, seek her out, question her.
Investigators start to consider a theory that's wildly different than anything they'd imagined before. Could Kathleen have been harboring yet another secret relationship, but this time with a woman? It would be a secret so taboo, she's likely not to have mentioned it, even to her closest friends and family. Kathleen's husband, Bill, suggests it could be possible.
Bill had told me after Kathleen's death that while he and my sister were still together, that their sex life had just diminished. He had told the investigators that he had thought Kathleen had become a lesbian. Law enforcement did look at the possibility that my sister was involved with a woman.
The neighbor tells police that the woman he saw Kathleen with was a redhead. And this detail has more weight than he could possibly imagine, because several red hairs were one of the few pieces of physical evidence found with Kathleen's body.
They were clearly not my sister's hair. She had short blonde hair, and these were 4 or 5 inches in length, red color.
Police are desperate to find the red-headed mystery woman. If they can find her, they might be able to get a DNA match to the red hairs found at the scene of the crime. Detectives begin interviewing family and friends to see if they know who this secret lover might be. But they hit yet another frustrating dead end. And while the redhead has been a tempting theory, Kathleen's estranged husband, Bill Lipscomb, does something that suddenly shifts investigators' focus back onto him.
Well, Bill brought up the idea of life insurance the very week that Kathy was murdered. And right away, it made her sister, Darlene, very suspicious because she got to thinking, well, maybe Bill did this.
I remember thinking, her body's not even cold yet, and you're already looking for insurance.
You're supposed to be grieving. You know, a person who's grieving the loss of a loved one isn't concerned with the money they're about to gain as a result of their loved one being killed. I mean, there's a contradiction there.
Because Kathleen died while she and Bill were still legally married, he stood to gain $315,000 from her death.
The family had a gut feeling he did it. And there was not enough here to convince the DA to do anything other than not investigate. There really was no physical evidence against Bill.
Bill's alibi that he was with his children on the night of the murder has been strong enough to keep him from being seriously considered as a suspect up to this point. But now, Kathleen's daughter is starting to tell a different story about the night her mother was killed.
My niece told me my daddy lies. She said, well, he wasn't where he said he was the night my mommy died. During the night, her brother was thirsty and started calling out to their dad, and there was no answer. So they got up and they walked through the apartment and they didn't see him. So they walked out onto the porch area and looked down, and his truck was not there.
So we now know that he wasn't inside the whole time. So what was he doing? And who was he doing it with?
Bill was very strict with his children. And they told Darlene that if they told her about this secret, Daddy would spank them very hard. So they were afraid of that. Everybody was afraid of Bill.
Kathleen's sister makes sure her niece tells her story to police, but they don't believe evidence brought forward from a child by another family member is legally credible.
The district attorney told us that it was insufficient evidence, that it appeared that my niece had been coached and that they wouldn't accept it as evidence.
Even if the police won't take the young girl's statement as absolute fact, the possibility that Bill might not have been home the night of the murder opens the door that he may be covering up a secret of his own. $315,000 is a lot of money, but was it enough for Bill Lipscomb to kill his wife? Or did Bill know about Kathleen's secret relationship, and was it enough to cause him to fly into a jealous rage?
Bill has a very high opinion of himself, and the fact that his wife would secretly be having an affair was devastating to him.
There are many reasons that Bill Lipscomb could have wanted his wife dead, but the sheriff's department still doesn't have any clear proof that he's involved.
Under the Texas law, an arrest warrant, you have to have pretty good evidence. We had no particular hard evidence.
In fact, there is no evidence to tie anyone to the crime, so the investigation stalls. 2 years after Kathleen Lipscomb's murder, her family is still devastated by her loss. They desperately want someone to be brought to justice for her terrible death, and decide to hire a private investigator to take on the case. Tom Bevins is an investigator who will now try to uncover the buried secrets behind Kathy Lipscomb's violent death.
Walking into a major law enforcement agency and saying, oh, by the way, we're here, you tread lightly on that because you're not really there to take over their investigation. You're there to help. And that's the way we approached it.
Bevins returns to the list of suspects already examined by police. He's hoping to uncover a lead or a piece of evidence that was somehow passed over by the sheriff's department.
It was wide open. It was, you know, everybody was potentially a suspect at that time.
Bevins looks at the doctor and his wife. Although they both had a strong motive, there is no evidence linking them to the crime. The suspicious male nurse is finally tracked down, but has an alibi for the time of the murder.
Yes, it took a while to find him because when he left, he did not notify anybody, I'm going to be moving out of town.
The eyewitness who swore that he saw Kathleen with her red-headed lesbian lover now fully recants his story. Police even speculate that the red hairs found on Kathleen's body may have been placed there to deliberately mislead them. And finally, the mysterious caller who terrified Kathleen's neighbor has never been heard from again.
You're next.
Nothing ever came of it. I mean, I don't think there were any further threats or anything, but I think that was another step to throw off the investigators.
With all other suspects falling away, Bevins turns back to re-examine Bill Lipscomb. He and Kathleen were already headed towards a divorce. But what secret could Bill have that would make him desperate enough to end her life entirely?
There were other people involved. So the secret was more than just his secret. It was others.
She came in and she said, if this is about Bill Lipscomb, I need an attorney.
Bill Lipscomb has had a solid alibi for the night his estranged wife, Kathleen, was killed. He was with their children. But now his daughter says that her father was missing in the middle of the night. It's troubling, but it's still just the word of a young child. Kathleen's family has hired private investigators to try and answer the question police have so far been unable to. Who killed Kathy Lipscomb and why? Tom Bevins, a new PI on the case, starts to look through Kathleen's belongings, the same items the police had examined more than 2 years earlier.
There was a small, you know, call it a 4x4 little paper date book, and I just started flipping through it. And I'm just looking for anything. And all of a sudden, I see a name, and it says, Teresa attended one of Bill's softball games. And I'm like, okay, that's a name I had never seen, never heard.
It's a small detail, one that could have easily been passed over. But the answer to who this woman is will just be the first of Bill Lipscomb's secrets to come out.
When Tom called, he asked me who she was. And I said, oh, that's Bill's girlfriend. Bill had a girlfriend? Yeah, you know, we didn't know that was instrumental. And so he said, well, I need to talk to her. That was our smoking gun.
During the initial investigation, Bill had never mentioned having a girlfriend. It's a secret he wanted to keep. And although Kathleen's sister originally mentioned Teresa's name to the deputies, she didn't press them to find her. In fact, police had missed any mention of her in Kathleen's date book. But the importance of Bill's affair is finally uncovered by Bevins.
It did not surprise me that Bill had a girlfriend. Bill was very handsome. He could be very charming. And he was a manipulator. It did not surprise me. It would have surprised me if he hadn't. He was just that kind of person.
Bill was very attracted to her, and she was attracted to Bill. He was a big deal in the Air Force. He was the man getting all these promotions. He was carrying the general's flag. And that was impressive, and it got her attention. So she was willing to sleep with him, to get to know him better.
Was this woman jealous enough to have harmed Kathleen herself? Was the affair the only secret that Teresa needed to hide? Or was there something else that she knew? Bevins passes along this new source of information to police, and they immediately bring Teresa in for questioning.
When they called her forward, she came in and she said, if this is about Bill Lipscomb, I need an attorney. And I remember Tom calling me that day at work, telling me that, and I'm getting chills now just thinking about it.
Teresa explains to detectives that Bill was her instructor and superior at the Air Force, but their work connection quickly took a passionate turn. Soon, Bill felt he could tell Teresa almost anything.
They had a relationship, intimate relationship, I guess you could say, and so he had shared some thoughts with her about what he was planning to do.
She has everything on me. She can do whatever she wants right now.
So he told her that you just wait. Kathy's gonna be murdered. You'll read about it in the newspaper.
It's not over till I say it's over. I am getting full custody of the kids.
You better sign those papers.
But Teresa has much more to tell investigators. She says that Kathleen was holding a powerful secret over Bill's head, one that could send shockwaves throughout the United States Air Force.
I know all about the scam.
When Bevins re-examines Kathy's datebook, he sees that she had actually written notes about Bill's secret there too, but they may have been hard to understand.
She had written, Bill has all questions to the WOPS.
WOPS sounds like a made-up word, like it means nothing at all. But WOPS stands for the Weighted Airman Promotion System. It's a test that determines whether someone is ready to climb to the next rank in the Air Force. Investigators find out Bill was either selling or trading the answers to the WOPS to those who were taking the test. He was personally responsible for countless airmen being wrongly promoted. If the scam had been revealed, it would have been a huge scandal for the Air Force.
Bill Lipscomb put together a worldwide cheating scam that was something everybody involved could benefit from.
Bill enlisted his friend and Air Force colleague, Nick Richards, to help run the scheme.
People that had previously taken the test, when they took the WOPS exam, they would call in the questions to Bill, and then he would look up the answer. So he had an answer book, and then he either sold the book or gave it to people that were coming up to take the test. He literally made a book of the test, and he had the questions, and then he had the answers.
After detectives learn about Bill's WOPS scam, they find out from family members that Kathy may have seen Bill work late into the night putting together the answer books.
And a WOPS test is something that you can buy, but if you get caught at it, then you're kicked out of the military and dishonorable discharge, the whole ball of wax.
She said she was gonna go to the authorities.
Oh my God.
Under questioning, Teresa explains to police that Kathleen was blackmailing Bill with knowledge of the cheating conspiracy. She would reveal all unless he backed off in their custody battle over the kids.
It got so contentious that she made the comment to him, if you keep this up and you fight me over this divorce, I will go to the commander of Lackland Air Force Base and I will tell him about you, but I will also tell him about all your friends that are involved in it. Everybody else involved, depending on their degree of involvement, would have either been, you know, booted out of the military or, you know, imprisoned as well.
So he not only had to protect himself, he had to protect them. And I think to some degree it might be fair to say that he may have been concerned about the possible consequences that could have come out had some of those persons he dealt with become aware that, look, you're about to be exposed. So the secret was more than just his secret, it was others.
Kathy knew a secret so big that it would be consuming to Bill's life. And so this was something he wanted to stop.
He didn't see any other way out. You know, it resolved everything for him. And that's why I think it left him with the only option is to say, I can keep everything, I can keep my career, I keep my children, I get all the money I ever needed, and I'm a rising star in the Air Force. and I'm free.
Investigators have uncovered a secret that goes far beyond the scope of a couple's tangled romantic jealousies. A secret that could be worth killing for. Police can't prove Bill Lipscomb was responsible for the death of his wife, but they have a plan to trap Bill into confessing to his biggest secret of all.
Do you remember what we did, what you did to her?
It's 1989, almost 3 years since the brutal murder of Kathleen Lipscomb. After numerous false leads and dead ends, investigators believe they finally uncovered her killer. Police believe Kathleen's husband, Bill, silenced his wife to keep her from revealing an Air Force promotion scam he was orchestrating. But they still need solid evidence to prove that Bill committed this terrible act of violence.
There was nothing at that point that directly had tied Bill to the crime or Kathleen's death. They were a little handicapped in moving forward on that.
Under interrogation, Bill Lipscomb's former girlfriend tells detectives they need to speak with Nick Richards, Bill's best friend. If Bill killed her, Teresa is certain that Richards was involved.
His girlfriend knew that he and his accomplice were close friends and that they shared a lot of secrets. And that was her first guess who to go to.
Nick was a fellow training instructor of Bill's at Lackland Air Force Base.
The accomplice was the same person that Bill first talked to about doing the cheating scam on the tests. And so he was involved with that. And they just got to be closer and better friends. He was very controllable.
I just don't want us to take this too far, and I don't want to get caught.
Well, I think Bill's ability to fill people out, select the weaklings from the not so weak, I think he has a talent there.
Investigators approach Nick Richards, and to their surprise, he is not only ready to cooperate, but he's willing to help them catch Bill.
He had met a girl that he fell in love with who had taken him to church. And he said every time he went to church, God was saying, confess, confess your secret.
Nick explains to detectives that he knows crucial details about the murder because he helped Bill cover it up.
Bill covered his tracks when he planned this murder. He made sure that he had an alibi. He insisted that his friend pick up the children and take them out to McDonald's that night so he would be home. And when the children were asked, they could say, oh, Daddy's been here all evening.
Nick tells police how Bill killed his wife. Kathleen had come to Bill's place to divide up family photos one evening. And when her back is turned, Bill attacks her and strangles her to death.
He had coaxial cables that were nearby and they were in front of the TV, and he just had to shut her up.
Now to find herself, you know, completely under the control of this beast, who's got a cord wrapped around her neck and snuffing the life out of her. I think about what it would take for another human being to do that to someone.
When Richards returns with the children, Bill has already hid Kathleen's body in a cedar chest. Nick's story fits with all the evidence that investigators have, down to the fact that Kathleen's legs were crossed when her body was discovered. They now know they were crossed from being stuffed into the cedar chest. Bill Lipscomb's secrets are finally coming out, but police need more than just two potential witnesses who failed to come forward with what they knew about the crime. Detectives tell Nick Richards that if he wants any kind of immunity for his involvement in the crime, he must wear a wire and get Bill Lipscomb to confess to the murder. So Nick arranges a meeting with a reluctant Bill.
Bill, I really need to talk to you about something. We need to discuss what happened.
What are you talking about, Nick?
He did not know his friend was wearing a wire. Still, he was clever enough not to say he killed her.
That was a long time ago, and I don't remember what happened.
And this actually amazed the detectives, because they couldn't imagine how he could keep this up for 3 years, insisting that his hands had not murdered Kathleen.
Well, you remember what we did? What you did to her?
Nick isn't able to get Bill to admit to the murder wearing a wire, but he gives investigators the next best thing, a piece of concrete physical evidence. Amazingly, Nick kept the cedar chest that Kathleen's lifeless body was placed in after she was killed.
Well, I still have the chest.
The accomplice says, I still have the cedar chest. He kept it because it was such a nice piece of furniture. And Bill tells him to get rid of it.
He provided everything that we'd always suspected and never knew. Plus, he had the physical evidence that we'd always been looking for. And that was the final piece before investigators moved in to arrest Bill.
All the secrets that were going on in this story just kind of fell down on each other in the end, because Kathy's secret affair with the doctor, Bill's secret testing scam, and he was also secretly having an affair. All this came to a head finally.
With all of his secrets finally out in the open and damning evidence that ties him to the crime, Bill Lipscomb finally pleads guilty to the murder of his wife.
He's a calculating type person, so he weighed the odds of him winning the trial, coming away with a not guilty verdict, and he pled guilty.
Bill is sentenced to life in prison. A pretrial agreement reduces the term to 60 years. After 3 long years of dead-end leads and evasion, Bill Lipscomb is finally going to pay for the violent murder of his wife, Kathleen, who was killed to keep his dirty little secret safe.
That was the one thing that would give her leverage in the divorce, and she knew it. And so she used that, and unfortunately, that cost her her life.
Secrets can be devastating. You combine secrets with someone who refuses to live by social norms. You combine that with these grave, devastating secrets. It's disaster. It results in murder. And that's exactly what happened with Bill Lipscomb.
It makes you realize that you really can't trust anyone, even people that you've known, that you feel like you know intimately. People are always capable of the unbelievable.
The average psychologically healthy person would never see murder as a reasonable coping mechanism. But we know that people that suffer from antisocial personality disorder do see it that way. In fact, they think it's the only way, and they have the ability to rationalize it. They tell themselves, this is my only way out. They blame the victim, and it's almost as if they get to the point where there's no other alternative.